I'm reminded of a time that I was invited out to dinner over to someone's house, a parishioner in the church, in another church I served. And it was over for dinner. We were in our dining room, and as we were eating, I happened to notice the large dog that was over in the corner. Really captivated my attention, because every time I took a bite, the dog's eye followed my hand. And I said to them, I said, well, I believe this is the most intelligent dog I've ever seen. You know, every move of my hand, you can just see the dog's following its eyes and looking at everything. And I said, I'm just captivated by it. And they said, oh, absolutely, we've got a smart dog, especially since you're eating out of its plate. I tell you, you got to be certain what you're eating out of, don't you? In fact, there's a lot of things in life we need to be certain about. So we're in a sermon series that we're calling Roots, where we are investigating many of the aspects of what makes us Wesleyan people, of some of those tenets and doctrinal distinctives that really form us as Methodist people. And this is a difficult chore for just in a few weeks. How are we going to be able to look into all of these different doctrinal distinctives that kind of form and inform who we are? And so as I began to search and pray and ask God's direction, I felt two or three things immediately that jumped to my mind. And one was God's grace. And of course, a few weeks ago, I talked to you about the importance of God's grace and how it was so such a big part of who we are as Methodist people, and how John Wesley spoke about God's grace and used the motif of a home. And you remember how he spoke about prevenient grace being the porch and justifying grace being the door, Jesus standing at the door inviting us to come in, and how John Wesley would often talk about God's sanctifying grace as us being in the house and God's Spirit working upon us. And then something else that really spoke to my heart and mind was the Bible. And John Wesley proclaimed himself sola scriptura, a man of one book. And the Bible indeed is a key staple of who we are as Methodist people. And there's something else that I feel compelled to share today, and that is that we Wesleyans are Holy Spirit people. Now, John Wesley was criticized for many things during his life, but perhaps the most common charge against him was he was just too enthusiastic. We heard that a lot. John Wesley was criticized for many things, but perhaps the most common charge against him was this air of enthusiasm, his insistence on the direct and daily influence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. It just kind of rubbed like sandpaper against the dry, formal Christianity and religiosity of the day. And Wesley preached on the third person of the Trinity often, and he spoke of the Holy Spirit as this agent of prevenient grace that brings before us this throne of God's grace. And people I know throughout time have often looked at the Holy Spirit as an object or as a thing. But I tell you today, they may be sincere, but they are grossly misled. Because the Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit's not an it or an object or a force field. The Holy Spirit is not some energy source. But the Holy Spirit also is not merely the divine life within us. The Holy Spirit is certainly of life, to be sure, and quickens us from death into life. But the Holy Spirit is more than mere life. I mean, a tree has a kind of life, doesn't it? But have you ever seen a tree with a college degree? I mean, have you ever seen a tree that is stubborn and obstinate, or a tree that has had its feelings hurt? The tree possesses life, but it's not a person. The Holy Spirit also is not merely the power of God at work in our lives. And gasoline is a source of power that drives our automobiles and helps us operate our machinery, but it has nothing to say about what direction we're going to head or how fast, what velocity and speed that our car is going to travel. The Holy Spirit is truly the source of our spirituality, but it is more than simply power. You see, what we would say as Methodist people is the Holy Spirit is a person. And maybe the unknown member, you might say, of the Trinity, because we know a lot about God the Father and a lot about God the Son, but relatively little in comparison about God the Holy Spirit. And just as a picture falls short of illustrating the beauty of a life, and a biography can fall short of fully explaining and illustrating the life of an individual, so any symbol or figure can fall short of explaining to us the Holy Spirit. And you can certainly tell when the Holy Spirit is absent, though, in your life. You know, I was headed back from vacation one time, and I was traveling on the West Virginia Turnpike. We'd been down in Florida for a while, and we were on our way back, and I had driven the whole way. And I wasn't sleepy, but everybody else in the car had fallen off to sleep. And I was listening to a ball game and just kind of zoned out as you were. You had a great time, and you're kind of all by yourself. And all of a sudden, I heard that piercing sound. And I saw the dashboard light up, and I was nearing out of gas. And that was uncharted territory for me because I've never even come close to being out of gas. But I got to tell you there, being on the West Virginia Turnpike and knowing there's not a lot of options for you, I began to do some vigorous praying. And I was very fortunate that I found a place that I could pull off and get some gas. And just in time, surely I rolled in on fumes and just vapors. But many of people are like that in their journey of faith, running on empty. And a disciple, we believe, as a Methodist, we invite the Holy Spirit into our life, and not merely to be the resident of our life, but to be the president of our life. And the Christian's heart is to be the place where the Holy Spirit lives. And just as there are many aspects to our faith and understanding, the many aspects to how we can describe God's grace, there's also many, many aspects to really understand the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to share just a few here this morning just to whet our appetites. Now, we as United Methodists believe that the Holy Spirit communicates with us. And that is to say, as Methodists, we believe the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And we believe that the Holy Spirit, in other words, connects with us. And Wesley preached that we could know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we belong to God. And this is the inner testimony of the Spirit of God upon our spirit, letting us know that we are a child of God. And the witness of the Spirit, this doctrine of assurance, is one of the key doctrines of our faith and one of the hallmarks of our Wesleyan heritage. Now, after John Wesley became, a Christian, and after he gave his life to God there at Aldersgate on May the 24th of 1738, something was different about him for the first time, and he wrote in his journal that his heart was strangely warm. He held from that moment on this incredible doctrine of assurance, this belief that a person can indeed know that they belong to God. And after all, he would point to different scriptures that Paul would encourage Christians, for example, to test themselves to see whether they were of the faith in 2 Corinthians 13. And the clear implication is that one can know the answer to that. And for the Christ follower, there is that earnest longing to be filled with the Spirit of God and to have God's Spirit to be indwelling in us. The Holy Spirit is God's greatest gift for us. For in the Holy Spirit, God is actually offering himself to us. And if you say, I've had too much of God, I desire only a little bit, I'm satisfied with just a certain amount, then you can't be filled, because the Holy Spirit crowds out everything else in our life. And the Holy Spirit really has that great significance for each one of us. And if we understand all about the Holy Spirit, we will lose our mind. It's impossible to understand and grasp it all. But if we try to live our Christian life without the Holy Spirit, we will certainly suffer. For we believe that ultimately we can reject salvation and we can backslide and we can leave God and the family of God. It's kind of like a pebble that lies in the bottom of the mountain stream. As long as it remains in the stream water, it's washed clean. But out of the stream, it's liable to become dirty. And therefore, we need to stay in the mountain stream. And this means that we acknowledge and accept the Holy Spirit into our lives before we can go the distance on the journey. We must deal with that foundational principle of the abiding presence of God. And Jesus said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." In other words, remain connected to the vine. And we grieve the Holy Spirit by our disobedience. And if the Holy Spirit is grieved with us, we will not be able to receive the peace that God has intended for us. We believe in the assurance of the Holy Spirit, that doctrine of God communicating and bearing testimony with our spirit. A second thing that we would say is that we believe in the comforting presence of the Spirit of God. We believe in God's Spirit being with us and really helping us to have those tranquil waters, that even when there's a tornado on the outside, even when there's difficult things swirling about us, even when there's problems, even when there's things that might make us sad, we can still be jubilant in our heart, for we know in the end that all things are going to work together for those who love the Lord. And it's always amazed me about the human body. Many say the human body is really the most remarkable machine on the planet. And one thing that's interesting is how we can maintain a constant body temperature. I mean, regardless of what's going on outside, what the weather is, it can still be at 98.6 degrees, whether you're at the equator or the Arctic Circle. And there's that inner mechanism that makes the difference. And in like manner, we believe the Holy Spirit is that comforter within the Christian's life to achieve this kind of stabilization in our spiritual health. And so whether you're facing the good times or the bad, whether you are tempted or receiving spiritual nourishment, the Holy Spirit keeps you stable within. That comforting presence of God within you, sharing that you are loved, you're cared for, and that you are of great significance in the eyes of God. You know, a real friend will not abandon you in the midst of difficulty when tough times arise. And like a comforter, a friend will encourage you and stand by you. I mean, what do you think of when you hear the word comforter? Maybe it's that bedspread that you like to wrap up in on a cold night. Or maybe we think of someone who tries to make you feel better when there are those tragic times in your life. But God offers himself and he can give nothing else higher. Here in the scripture that we've got before us today in John 16 and 7, the word here really for companion really speaks to us. It's the word for paraclete. And that was an ancient term that Jesus was referring to there, where a soldier, when they went into battle, they would be in pairs. And as the enemy would attack, they could draw their backs together to cover each other's blind side. And one's battle partner was a paraclete. In other words, the Holy Spirit is your defense attorney. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. It's your chief encourager and consoler. And our Lord does not send us to fight the good fight alone. The Holy Spirit is our battle partner who covers our blind side, and a very key part of what Wesley spoke about in his sermons. And then lastly, not only do we think of this doctrine of assurance that truly that the Holy Spirit is there with us and comforts us and communes with us, but also the counsel of the Holy Spirit that also leads us. For we believe as Methodists that the Holy Spirit gives us guidance and direction in life. In fact, the Bible says that he will guide you into all truth, and that the Holy Spirit affects our lives by changing us, by renewing and strengthening us for work of ministry. Now, probably all of us remember a time when you were in high school and there was that valued member of the faculty we call the guidance counselor. And anytime you had a problem, anytime you were getting bullied, anytime you were trying to decide what you were going to be in life and what you were going to do, whether you were going to go in the military or a certain career choice or a certain class that you needed, or maybe you just wanted to enter the workforce, you sought the guidance counselor, for they were there to kind of guide you. And fortunately, we as people of faith believe that the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. Not only do we have God's word to guide us, but we have the guidance counselor, the author himself. And you know, I remind you that you can't run in two directions at the same time. You can't chase two rabbits down two different trails at the same time. You can't serve God and you can't serve money or you can't serve something else. You can only have one number one in your life. And we believe in being led by the Spirit and following after God on this journey of discipleship in which God has called us to. In Exodus 23 and verse 2, it says, "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong." And I got to tell you, that's an important verse in our day. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong, because the whole idea is if everybody else is doing it, it must be okay. And if it's legal, it must be moral, but we know that's not necessarily the case. If everybody else is doing it, then I should do it. And you can't follow a culture that doesn't follow God if you want to be led by the Spirit of God. And you know, one of the weaknesses of following culture is it's temporary, isn't it? Whatever's in style next year is going to be out of style the next. And so nothing is as worthless as yesterday's fashion. And unless you hold on to it in 30 years, it'll come back. If you still got one of those wide ties, it'll be back in soon. Our ties get wide and then narrow. The hem lines, they go up and down and all of that. And this means it's important to have the presence of God in your life to guide you. And often we miss this point, for we seek the gifts instead of the giver. Often when I travel and I would come home, and our kids were small, I would be known to bring them a little gift, something that I could give to them, maybe a toy or, you know, some type of little gift that I could pass on to them. And I remember this one time not being around any place that I could find such a gift. And when I got back home, I just looked at my kids and I said, "Well, here I am. I'm giving you the gift of myself. Aren't you glad to see Dad?" And, of course, their lips began to quiver, their eyes began to moisten. And you could just see there was disappointment in their eyes that there was not that little toy this time and upon my return. And you know what? Many of us are like that. For we seek the presence and the gifts and not the presence and the giver of the gifts himself. And the Holy Spirit says, "I have given you many gifts, but now I offer you myself." Now, you know what? Nobody wants to see the old barn, that old dilapidated building. But everybody wants to see the old barn burn, don't they? And I would say to you that your life may be spectacular, but it will never be miraculous without the indwelling presence of God's Spirit in your life. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for these moments where we can ponder that doctrine of the Trinity and specifically your Holy Spirit. We know it challenges the mind and it causes us to raise our eyebrows when we think about the Holy Spirit, but we know how much we need you in our hearts and lives, and especially in this day and this era and this generation in which we live, and how we need your guidance, how we need your comfort, how we need that knowledge spoken to our heart and mind today that we belong to you. And we give you thanks, O God, for the way in which you have sent this companion to us, this comforter that could speak to our hearts and console our spirits and lead us in the path of righteousness. And we pray this day that you would challenge each and every one on our journey of faith. Have your Spirit dwelling in our hearts and minds. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.